grace.
Your grace in our life, moving in our heart. I thank you for the grace to speak your word today, to deliver the things you've given to me to put forth. Father, may they go into the heart of every person here. May light and understanding shine forth in the heart. May wisdom and strength be imparted today. And I thank you for fresh inspiration to flow today. We thank you for what you're doing in us, in the midst of us, and through us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to share from my chair here today. praise the Lord. Before I get into the message I have, I just want to continue to encourage everyone, pray. You know, I shared a word a couple months ago now about dark clouds and shared different messages relative to that. And the enemy tried to take the life of our next president and former president, but God's hand was upon him. It's interesting, there's a picture. You see the bullet whizzing by his head. One bullet, it was like five shots. And we were watching, and I couldn't hardly sleep all night, just stirring in me and weeping half the time thinking about it. But I believe, the reason I'm sharing, I'm not going to go off on this, but the reason I'm sharing is for a reason. You know, when we can pray, like say for our nation, for leaders to come, leaders that are, leaders that have been, but you need to have expectation. The Spirit of God, whether you're seeing anything yet or not, but I really believe that's going to be what they call it, seminal moment, for Donald J. Trump to really turn to Jesus. Now, he knows him. He is born again. Has a lot of rough as a corncob ways. But you can't know people according to the flesh, or you're going to treat everybody according to the flesh. But God began a work in him, just like he began a work in you. We're all different points along the way, not to be compared one to another, but rather to celebrate, you know, the work he's begun. With faith, he's going to complete it while we're on this earth. But that work he began is going to be completed, and that should be our expectation. But sometimes in people's lives, there's like a moment, their moment of, I think a word's epiphany, or they just like the lights come on. And I believe that's, you're going to hear testament. That's going to be that for him. I really believe that. Where it's like a deeper sense of, there's a call of God, there's the hand of God, and I'm moving forward with a greater purpose, you know, for the hour. So that's all I want to say about that. I'm really glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. You know, before I share what I'm going to share here, I thought come to my mind how, you know, Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection three different times, but the one time, Thomas wasn't there. There was a God-ordained time for him to reveal himself, and he wasn't where he should have been. Now, he didn't know Jesus was going to appear, or maybe he would have made plans to be there. We need to be ready all the time and learn to live where he wants us, not according to our own thinking, our own planning of our life. And James chapter 4 brings that out. You know, we don't say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but rather really look to be led by the Spirit. And it's very important where we need to be, when we need to be there, or you can miss something that would impact your life. So I take that very, very seriously. And there's times I know I have a word from the Lord. In fact, that's my expectation every Sunday. And I believe I receive that, because that's what I'm expecting, waiting on the Lord for, not refried beans. That's why I don't keep records of everything I preach. I mean, the record's in the Word, and He writes things on my heart. But I don't want refried beans. I want to wait on Him and have some fresh manna. Whether I preached it 100 times or not, it's not going to come out the same. I remember once in India, we were traveling to different places, and I had a word that I gave in one place. We went to another place. I started the same scripture and came out whole different. And Israel said, "You preached that different." I said, "Well, yeah, you know, as it came, I spoke." And, you know, we don't want to try and fabricate things from our mind. And you'll find if you evaluate your own life, you might find you do that a little more than what you think. So, anyway, I'm just saying, you're not Thomas today. You're here because the word of the Lord for you here today. And there's something we can learn just from what I'm just saying right now. Be where you need to be. When you need to be there. It should be something we set ourselves to daily. Now, turn your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the book of Habakkuk is one of the prophets. And in chapter 1, he was complaining, like he was seeing all this evil in the land. So, "Lord, when are you going to judge them? When are you going to judge them?" That was basically his cry. And so then he says he's going to see what the Lord's going to answer him. And the Lord says, "You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. You won't even believe it." And what he says, "I'm going to raise up from the Chaldeans, and they're going to bring judgment," which the Chaldeans were despised. And in Habakkuk's mind, how could God use the Chaldeans to judge the Israelites? How could he use them because they're less righteous? Well, it's not about how righteous you are. It's about what time is it? And it was time for them to be judging themselves and entering into what God has. It wasn't a matter of who's more right. So that's a little side lesson there. But God's saying, "You're not going to believe what I'm going to do, Habakkuk." So Habakkuk says, verse 1, "I'll stay on my watch, I'll sit on a tower. I'll wait to see what he's going to say to me and what I'll answer when I'm reproved." Now, he knew he was going to get rebuked. He knew he wasn't thinking right. But he just wants to, you know, "Well, I'm going to wait and see what the Lord says," which was wisdom on his part. "We'll just sit here till we see what he says." "And the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision. Make it plain upon tables," or, of course, the table was not your kitchen table, but on a tablet, like a rock, they would engrave right upon, "that he may run that reads it." Now, some people take that scripture out of context and say that's a principle for visionary stuff. Well, yeah, it's good to write things down. That's not what this is saying, though. "That he may run who reads it." In other words, judgment's coming, and y'all need to be running to me. Not running away from what's going on, but running to me. That you can run to me, because judgment's coming. That's what he's saying. "Write it down so people can hear or read," in this case, "what I'm just saying to you, what you're hearing me say, that they can read it and see it so they can run to me." Not run away. Run to him. You can't get away from things in this life. You know, the picture is, run from a dog, the dog chases you and bites you in the leg. That's fun for them. You run from the devil, now he's going to have some fun. He's going to chase you till he catches you and start nipping at your heels. Maybe even jump up and grab you by the throat. "For the vision's yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak," or "carry the testimony and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it," or there is a delay. "Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tower. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by faith. Now, we'll come back to that, but I want to emphasize here at verse 3 what I have shown you, Habakkuk, what I'm speaking to you is for an appointed time. And at the fulfillment or the appointed time at the end, it will speak. It will not lie. It's going to happen just what I said. Now, that's a statement. One of those you can take it to the bank. If God said it, he's going to do it. In fact, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who calls you who will do it. One of the last songs we sang spoke of declaring God is faithful. He's going to keep his promises, or the visionary things is another way of saying it. He's going to fulfill the things he's revealed that his plan to do. And we can rest upon that. At the end, it will speak. There may be delay, but wait. It will surely come. It will not tarry, or it's going to take place. So there are some things God speaks that are conditional. Well, if you do this, he'll do that. But there are some things that he reveals are going to happen unconditional. And when it's something we feel the Lord speaking, we need to identify which it is. If it's conditional, make sure you're doing the conditional, because he'll always give the condition. And if he's not giving it as a conditional, but it's unconditional, the unconditional thing does have a condition, and that is you need to wait patiently and live by faith. By faith going forward, believing that's going to be the destiny or the desired end. That's what's going to happen. So in a sense, it's conditional. It's conditional whether you're going to see it, but it is going to happen. God said he was going to bring the children of Israel into the promised land, but only two people saw it. It was available to everyone, but they didn't live by their faith. So they were right on the edge, and they went round and round for 40 years till the people who saw the miracles of judgment for 40 years, or rather, they were 40 years in the wilderness because they saw the 10 miracles on Pharaoh in Egypt, yet still had unbelief in their heart. So he said, you're not going in. I'll forgive you, but you're not entering into what I have for you. See, they didn't come into that place of faith. But what God said was going to happen, it was the children of the children of Israel plus Joshua and Caleb. And they saw it did happen, but not everyone partook of that. So there are many, I'm sort of feeling a stirring over maybe, I don't know how long, a week, couple weeks, I don't know. I'm going to share some of this appointed time stuff. Appointed time things. Human nature gets excited over a promise and wants to see it today. Worst case scenario, tomorrow. And you really see the evidence of that with children, especially small children. One of the things we learned in parenting was you don't tell a four-year-old we're going to the beach in 3 months. Because they will ask you every day. And then on the drive down there, 3.5-hour drive, we're there yet? We're there yet? Jesse was notorious. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? About every 5-10 minutes, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Please stop. I'll tell you when we're there. You'll see the water. But that's how we are. Just as children in the natural, we're like that, where God begins to speak something and you want it now. At least the good things. And the things you think of as negative, you kind of like have this block go in your head. I've shared before, it just pops into my mind here. As a young believer, I was with my father and my uncles hunting camp in the mountains, deer hunting. And it was cold, first week of December, 20 degrees, 20 mile an hour wind, and 2 inches of snow on the ground. Standing there, being still as I can, holding a rifle for 5 days. I didn't see anything. But in that time, as a young believer, I heard the voice of God. First I ever did like this before. And he spoke to me within the year, your father's going to die and I'm going to bring you your wife. Well, the thing I didn't want to hear, I sort of blocked out. And the thing I wanted to hear, I was like, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? Where is she? And a lot of young people fall into going shopping. You know, they'll go to a youth group or something looking. Maybe she or maybe her or maybe him. No. So anyway, nothing's happening. And I inquire the Lord. I knew enough to inquire the Lord. And he says, the reason I told you that is let me prepare your heart for what I want to do. Because if I brought her into your life now, you'd drive her away. I had to begin to let him deal with my flesh. Now, he's still dealing with me. But we started. See, at least you have to let him start to begin. And there might be something that's more of an issue they got to deal with right away. But in my heart, I said, yes, Lord. And it's like a brother took me to a Full Gospel Businessman's prayer breakfast down at the Yorktown Hotel. So I come in there and I had like long hair and I had my good jeans and my work jeans, my good boots, my work boots. So I was in my good jeans, my good boots, my good flannel shirt. I mean, for me, I was dressed, man. For them, who is this guy? How'd he get in here? Because all these businessmen, suits and everything. So they start sharing testimony around the going around, and I shared this in there. Yeah, right. I mean, they're looking at me on the outer man. Yeah, right. The next day, I shared this. He's going to bring me my wife. The next day, that night, I had, for the second time, went to this youth fellowship group. And Donna, who was going to that church previous and left because there's split, came back to find out, Lord, I need to know why I left. Not just because a lot of people just follow people out. And I knew right away. You know, we got to fellowship, and I don't know what attracted you to me other than the favor of God, because I was still coming out from drugs. It'd take me literally 5 minutes to finish a conversation, to think of what I was going to say. My brain was that frozen. And the cry in my heart was, Lord, heal me, because I've got something I need to talk to people about Jesus, that which I've been looking for. Sort of like the movie, Julia. Oh, can't think of it. But anyway, the guy in the movie, you know what I'm saying, says, all my life I was looking for this. What was it called? Everybody knows that movie. It's one of the great iconic movies. Anyway, it's all the musical and the songs in there. Sound of Music, yeah, thanks. Sound of Music. Well, anyway, you know, he found that which he was looking for, to know love like that. Well, I found that which I was looking for, to know the truth, Jesus Christ. And I so desperately wanted to share it with everybody, and I couldn't. God, I healed my brain first, but it didn't take too long, he did. I mean, he healed my brain. I talk. Well, anyway, I knew right away. This was the answer. This was God. And after the first week, I said something to Donna that blew her mind temporarily. Shorted for a few fuses. She wasn't quite ready yet. And she said, well, don't talk to me till I hear from God. Don't call me. Don't see me. for 2 weeks. How many days did that last? Oh, we went 2 weeks. Okay. She helps me tell stories right. 2 weeks, she said. And God spoke to her. We knew it was right. And we didn't say anything to any of our friends, family, or anyone, because they would have all thought we're nuts. So we waited 6 months, and they were like, everyone, what took you so long? We could see that months ago. But God did that. And it's so important to respond to him in the moment of what he's saying and what he's doing. Well, I don't know, that just popped in my heart, whoever needed to hear that. But the visions for an appointed time, or that which he revealed, that which he showed, there's a time for the manifestation. See, there's time between God speaking and God manifesting something. With many, many, many things in life, and there's many people's lives, we see that here. And so he said, it will take place. And over the years, there's been times, and I don't look for any of this. I've had visions from God. And times he showed me things in prayer as well that were undeniably him. And I want to share such a thing with you, encourage you, because as a believer, we can expect he'll show us things to come, or that which he would want to do. But how we handle it's key. When God begins to reveal something, what man will do, absolutely, until he learns better, is put his hand in his own ability to try to make it happen. Just like a child will do that. People will do that. I have a lot of visionary friends, people with apostolic and prophetic calling and such. Some have gone on to be with the Lord. And in times of fellowship, every one of them, everyone, bar none, would share how God had showed them something, and they were beginning to see it at that point, but how they put their hand to it in their own ability and set it all back, or just delayed it all the more till they saw it, that they needed to just trust in the Lord to bring it to pass and not put their hand to it. But human nature will do that. Human nature. So that's really why I was sharing that with relative to Don and I getting together. God did that. My initial response was, Where is she? Is she the one? That was my initial response. And it wasn't until I kind of laid it all before the Lord. It was just so quick it happened. It was like the next day. But until I did that, there was nothing going to be happening. So people get frustrated, and then maybe some people even stop following the Lord, or they get angry, or they push. I've had people over the years with certain, possibly, certain callings on their life. Some I know did, but some just possibly. And they wanted it right away and pushed. And because I wouldn't affirm them in it right away, because I knew they weren't ready, God wouldn't let me do it, they get mad at me and leave me and slander against me and lie against me, because I'm the problem. And for some of these, it's 20 plus years later, and they're still not doing what they proclaimed. They were called, and I was too much of a bonehead to see it.